Amen. Thank you, Father. We will claim that. So we will walk out our faith. And so tonight, our fellowship is going to be, the title would be Hebrew, Greek, and English. And so it really would be Ibri, Hellene, and English. And so the words are, it's not Hebrew, it's Ibri. It's not Greek, which is really a Roman word. It's really the Hellenes and English. And there was a statement that was presented to me, and I thought this was a great statement. The Greek was not a neutral language through which Ibri or Hebrew or Christianity could travel. And so we have as a foundation of society, of our, of the word, Yahweh's breathed words were Ibri or Hebrew. These are foundational. When the Greek came in and translated the Old Covenant, the Septuagint, in 250 B.C., they changed all those words into a Greek concept. The Greek people have gods in their language and paganality in their language. And so once you, which we're going to see that, and once you say these words, and just for instance, soul, and we're going to find out the word soul, there is no soul. People don't have a soul. But we can't even use that word. Don't even use that word, because this is, which we're going to see, it's from a goddess called Psyche. And so our foundation in Christianity is a great many times false, because it's on Greek, the Hellenic language, and not on the Ibri or Hebrew language. So I'll try to use those interchangeably, Hebrew and Greek, or Ibri and Hellene. So we'll begin, but just, I'm going to say this again. Greek, you know, so if I'm translating from Espanol to English, I've got to say, is English a neutral language? I can actually communicate word for word Espanol. And if it's not, then I've got to be very, very careful. And we have to say this, Greek was not a neutral language. It's not a neutral language. It's a corrupt language. It's a pagan language, which we're going to see, through which Ibri, Hebrew, or Christianity, through which could travel. And so we've got to realize that in order to get our foundation back on what Yahweh says and not what philosophers have said. And any times our Christian teachings are based upon Greek philosophers and not on Yahweh's word. You know right off the bat, don't even use the word Yahweh. Who did away with that? The Greeks, the Hellenes. They changed it to Kurios, which is Lord, right off the bat. So are they following Yahweh or are they following the Greeks? They're following the Greeks. The 36 books in the Old Covenant were cut up by the Greeks, not by the Ibris. There's only 24 books. So what's our book say? It's got 36 books. The Greeks made it into, the last book is Malachi. That's not what the Ibri or Hebrews has. The last book is Second Chronicles. So our, you know, we've got in our society, what are our planets called? Venus, Mercury, Mars. What are these? These are gods. Our weeks and our days and the weeks are from gods. Thursday is Thor, and we go. You know, so we're born into a situation that's polluted, and we have to say it's polluted. And so we have to grow up. And this is only for advanced people. Most people could care less. They're never even going to read the Bible. And here's just an example. Is the word Bible ever in this book?
No.
No. What does the word Bible mean?
Book.
Book. It's Latin for book. That's all. And they would say a holy book. Yeah. But no, it's the word of Yahweh. Mm-hmm. And so Yahweh calls it my word. It's the word of Yahweh. It's not the Bible. So even that we've got. And you have Easter. You have Christmas on December 25th. You have Santa Claus. You have Lent. You know, we have so much, you know, and we've already purged a lot of that from the Catholic, the Roman Catholic Church, which is just, you know, we had
Fat Tuesday.
Yeah, we had the circumcision and a Christ circumcision and Mary's milk and all sorts of stuff. What do they call those things? Bones of saints and everything else. It's just hideous of the paganism that's there. But we're just going to get an illustration on some of this stuff. So we'll begin in Genesis 37, 35. You know, the word hell, which is foundational, we're going to look at a couple of things. The word hell, or inferno, in Espanol, has nothing to do with our book. There is no Hebrew word that can be translated hell. You know, hell is a place that's been created. We go to Genesis 37 to 35, and this is the word. There is a word called Sheol, and there is a word that's called the Valley of Hinnom. The only word they can translate hell is Sheol once in a while. And so what we're going to do is just go through here, and we'll do the Hebrew. And then we're going to see what the Greeks did. Okay, let's see here, 35, 37. So it's always important to look at the first uses of a word and how Yahweh is using it. 37, 35. And this was Jacob, when he found out that Joseph had died. When he didn't die, he was sold by his brothers. Let's look at 34. And Jacob rent his garments and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned over his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to console him, but refused to be consoled and said, "Surely I will go down unto my son mourning to hell." Well, that's what the King James, they're not going to translate that hell, because Jacob can't go to hell. That's the word they translate hell. And Rotherham's going to translate it Hades. It's the word Sheol. Sheol, we know, is a place where every dead person goes. Period. Good or bad, every dead person goes to Sheol. They don't know that because other places, so we got the Hebrew word, I'll just say Hebrew instead of Hebrew, is Sheol, number 7585. The Greeks, and this is very important, if you download Blue Letter Bible and put it on your phone, you can do all the stuff. I did all this on Blue Letter Bible. And Blue Letter Bible, you can look up these scriptures, look up the Hebrew word, and then you can also look up how the Septuagint translated this Hebrew word. It's free download. Absolute necessity if you want any kind of foundation. So the Hebrew is Sheol, 7585, first uses. The Greeks are going to translate Hades, which is Greek number is 86. Well, we've got to understand, when it talks about Greek is not a neutral language. Hades is a god. And we're going to find that out over here. On my second page, the first word. So I'll put this on the video. So what is Hades in the Greek culture? Hades is the ancient Greek god of the underworld and the ruler of the dead. A brother to Zeus and Poseidon and husband to Persephone. He is known as a something deity, meaning he has power over the earth and the hidden wealth beneath it, a characteristic reflected in his Roman name, Pluto, meaning the wealthy. Despite his stern and just, though harsh nature, he was widely feared and rarely invoked by name, often referred by the epithets like the wealth giver or the unseen one. So Hades is an ancient Greek god of the underworld. So once you translate Sheol, Hades, now you've given it a place where a god exists, and he's running
another god.
Yeah, he is running the underworld. Well, now I've lost it. Now I've got a whole different meaning of what the Greek was not neutral, and actually interject a whole other concept. And how does the King James translate Sheol? Grave. Well, what is grave? And so it's not the grave, it's Sheol. And so it should have been transliterated because it's a proper place. A proper noun is person, place, or thing.
Like Paris.
Back into English.
Paris is a proper noun. Paris or Jerusalem?
Yes, yeah. Any place. Sheol is a proper noun. There is a word for grave, and that's in, we have to go there, Genesis 35:20, where Rachel's grave, Jacob goes to Rachel's grave, and that's number 6900, and she is 14 times, sometimes translated sepulcher. This is not a grave. And so by doing that, we are completely oblivious to what has just happened. Because they're not going to say hell here, because Jacob can't go to hell, but it's the same word. They're going to translate hell whenever they feel like it. And so they just created a place, and they've removed another place. They removed Sheol, and they're going to create a new place, which is called hell, which is really, you're going to find out, is where Hades is ruling. We're going to find that out.
Hades,
the god Hades, where we get hell is the god Hades ruling the underworld, where people are alive. Now we go to Psalms 18:31. And here are things that you're going to miss completely. Verse 31 and 32. You can see it in the Rotherham, but here's what's going to happen. There are three Hebrew words that are translated God in English. It is Eloah, El, and Elohim. All three, they all have different meanings. This is why Yahweh uses three different words. He's not communicating the same thought, or he'd use the same word. And so in verse 31, we're going to see, for who is Eloah?
Is that?
That's Eloah, save Yahweh. Eloah, the number is 433, and Yahweh is number 368. Well, we're going to know that the Septuagint, the Greek, is going to translate that Theos, which is God. And this is where we get theology. And even that, wait a minute here. If we're studying Yahweh, that's Hebrew. Why do we have a Greek word, theology, where our people go to school for theology and not Yahology, the study of Yahweh? Even there we're corrupted. But they're going to translate it Theos, and Kurios. And Kurios is, which is Lord. They're not going to say Yahweh. The Greeks are going to change it to Lord. 29:62. Now watch this. And who is a rock save our Elohim? There's the other word. So in the one verse we have Eloah and we have Elohim. Elohim is number 430. What is the Greek going to do? They're going to translate it Theos.
Again.
Theos. All three of them are going to say Theos. What are the English Bibles going to translate? God, God, God. You're not going to know any difference whatsoever. And so you've just erased what God has done. Now, 32, the El, and what's the Greek going to do? Theos. And what's the English going to do? God. The El who girded me with strength to set forth his blameless way. El is number 410. So all that is lost, but Rotherham has done it because he's done it in different spelling types. And so Eloah is Old English type. Elohim is uppercase, lower cases. And El is all uppercases. And so now you can look wherever those things are, you'll know it. Eloah, Elohim, El. And so it's communicated right to us through the Hebrew and not through Greek. Because Greek is going to be Theos, Theos, Theos. Just like God, God, God. Now we go to Genesis 1:2. And these concepts, you have to remember, many of these words I'm going to be using are foundational words where doctrine stems from them, but they're not being utilized by their actual meaning of Yahweh uses them. And they've created it usually from a Greek reference and not Hebrew reference. So obviously we know we're going to talk about Ruach. Now Ruach is what they sometimes translate spirit. Genesis 1:2, now the earth had become waste and wild and darkness on the face of the roaring deep, but the Ruach of Elohim was brooding on the face of the waters. The Ruach of Elohim, or Elohim's Ruach. Okay, that's the first usage, and spirit means what?
Air in motion.
Yeah, or the actual word.
Wind.
The Ruach means air in motion. The actual word spirit means breath.
Breath, okay.
Yeah, spirit is breath. And that's why we got expire, inspire,
respire,
and anything with spire in it is breath. But we're completely connected with, we wouldn't read this and say, and the breath of God was brooding on the face of the waters. Well, that's what spirit means. Spirit is, just look it up. Spirit is breath. Okay, well that's interesting or confusing, but yeah, we're going to do a study here. But now we go to 3:8, the second usage of Ruach. And so you want to know what Ruach means? Go through its usages. Not how man translates them, but how Yahweh uses them. And you're looking at 8, you know, 3:8. That's right here. Then heard they the sound of Yahweh Elohim walking to and fro in the garden at the spirit of the day. That's the second usage of Ruach. The spirit, no, it's not going to translate a spirit, are they? They've got to translate a breeze. Does anybody, by looking at your Bible, realize that's the same word as Genesis 1:2?
No.
There's no association whatsoever. And they're not going to inform you that it's the same word. So now, when they translate this word spirit, I'm going to get one thought, and then when they translate a breeze, no connection whatsoever. It's the same word, and that's where we're talking about. If you study Ruach, it's usually power or air in motion. It's wind, it's breath, it's blast. It's used in a lot of different ways, and as we're going to see, you see here. We don't have to go there, but Genesis 6:17. Well, let's just go there. Genesis 6:17. We're real close. Another usage. And then we have to say, are these words corroborating the teachings that have been taught to me? That'd be the question. What have you been taught by spirit? Ruach. What have you been taught? We're going to see soul. About Yahweh, about Sheol, and nothing of Sheol, which isn't that important? Where all the dead go to Sheol, I have no idea what Sheol even is. Why am I not taught that? And if you look in your Bible, they're not going to teach it to you either. The newer ones are coming out once in a while saying Sheol, but not all the time. The American Standard Version did in 1901. Every place Sheol is used, they put the word Sheol. And so Rotherham's going to do it. It'll be Hades, but it's representing Sheol. Because now Hades is in the new covenant, and so he's going to tie, it's the same word. In the old, it's so Hades is representing Sheol, not the god Hades, who's in the underworld. I wish you would have done Sheol instead of Hades in my situation. 6:17. Let's see here. And I, behold me, bringing in the flood, even waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein the Ruach of life from under the heavens, everything is in the earth, shall cease to breathe. And so we see right there the spirit of life in all animals. So people say they have a spirit. Well, animals have this spirit of life, which is the breath of life. Breath in this particular case. It's the same thing that happens in, but you're going to see, that's the word Ruach. The Greek, the Septuagint, is going to translate pneuma, which is fair, which we're going to find out. Pneuma, we get pneumonia pneumatic pressure, air, and motion. You know, it's still, it's a good word. They're going to use, in the actual ruach in the Old Covenant is used 378 times. Pneuma, the Septuagint, is going to be used 287 times. So there are about 100 times the Greek text is not going to translate ruach pneuma. So that's a deficiency right off the bat. And let's see, yeah, that's ruach is seven, the number 7307. And let me see here. And pneuma is, the Greek number is 4151. And it's breath. And also you can see that in 715. We don't have to go there. The same situation. So when people, when your church, or your pastor, your denomination starts teaching about man is spirit, soul, and body, you have to say, man is breath? Well, of course. Well, no, we don't mean it. You're not using the word correctly. You know, that's what spirit means, breath. Well, no, you know what I mean. No, I don't know what I mean. And so we have to start pressing this. That's not what this is taught. Yahweh does not say, as today is, man is triparte. That's, it comes out of 1 Thessalonians. Yeah, 1 Thessalonians. They got one verse, and they make a whole doctrine because they want to believe this. They want this to happen. And when we get into soul, we're going to really see that. Now let's go into soul, and it's the word nephesh, and that is Genesis 1:20. Let's go back to 1:20, the first usage, and nobody's going to know that except if you have a Rotherham or you look it up. And Elohim said, "Let the waters swarm with an abundance of living soul." And birds shall fly over the earth, over the face of the expanse of the heavens. There it is, the first usage of the word nephesh. Nobody's going to translate that soul. Actually, the 1500 Bible did translate that soul, and that was the Geneva Bible. But nobody's going to translate that. Even on Genesis 2:7, they would say, the old King James would say, "So then Yahweh Elohim formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, a living nephesh." So man, but they changed that now. The new one will say a person, a living person. And so they choose the word they're going to translate soul when they want to. When they don't want to, they're going to translate a person. And so, you know, they say, we have a soul. No such thing. Scripture has none of that stuff. Where did that come from? Let's look. This is very interesting. And with Espanol, it's alma. And man has a soul that leaves us. Well, let's look at that. This is very interesting. Nefesh, 53:15. They translate, the Greek will translate nefesh, suke. Suke, pardon me?
What number was that, 53 what?
Nefesh is 53:15. Suke is 55:90. Now this is very fascinating. Suke is a goddess, was a mortal princess whose story is best known from
Apuleius,
the golden ass. A woman of incredible beauty, she became the object of both Aphrodite's jealousy and Eros' love. After a series of trial, including completing impossible tasks set by Aphrodite, Suke became immortal. Isn't this interesting? Because what do we say about the soul? It's
immortal.
Immortal. Nephesh is not immortal. The Hebrew word has nothing to do with immortal. So where did we get the whole concept of soul as immortal from? Suke, Greek mythology. Suke became immortal and a goddess of the soul, marrying Eros and giving birth to her daughter, Hedone, the goddess of pleasure. So what Christianity is taught today is that we have a soul. And when you die, your soul leaves you. Now watch this. We're going to get into, we haven't got into Thanos yet. But keep that in mind. But so what we've got is now we've got a concept, a Greek concept, that psuche is immortal, and that's where I've got an immortal soul. And what word are you saying? I'm saying psuche. Well, that's not what Yahweh uses. Yahweh is Hebrew, and it says nephesh, and nephesh has no bearing whatsoever on this. This is Greek philosophy, Greek mythology that actually is taught by the Christian church. So, the Hebrew word is nephesh. The Greek are going to translate nephesh, psuche, in Genesis 1:20. And that's 5590's number. And we're going to translate it in King James, creature. Isn't that amazing? It's the same word, and they're going to translate a creature, not soul. King James not going to translate it soul. So, psuche is the goddess of the human soul. And what is taught in Christianity today is psuche, the goddess of soul. Now we go into muse, and so we've seen, and that's the word death, which is Genesis 2:17, and we're going to tie these two together, death and soul. 2:17. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest of it thou shalt mute. M-U-T or M-U-T-H. You shall die. Okay? Very, very simple concept. What does the Greek translate that? The Greek will translate it as Thanatos.
Thanatos.
Which is number 2288. Muth is 4191. Well, Thanatos is also a god. Now, here's Thanatos. So look at this. The Hebrew word is mavet, or mut. Not, it depends on what's the verb. This is the verb, M-U-T or M-U-T-H. The noun is M-A-V-E-T, 4194. Now, let's listen to Thanos. Thanatos was the Greek personification and mirror god of peaceful, nonviolent death. Okay, death, there we go. The son of Nyx, night, and twin brother of sleep. Depicted as a winged being with a sword and an inverted torch, he collected the souls. Hey, now we're going to tie nephesh, or psuche, not nephesh, but we're going to tie psuche with Thanatos. The soul of the deceased to guide them to the underworld. This is where everybody's got the underworld. There is no underworld in the Hebrew word. While sometimes mistaken as a ruler of the underworld, that role belongs to Hades. Thanatos was the embodiment of death inevitably, whose duty was sometimes overwhelmed but ultimately unavoidable. And all through the scripture, we're going to see Muth and
Thanatos.
Let me see here.
Where's Mute? What'd you say?
The Hebrew's Mute.
Yeah, Hebrew, Mute. Death and Sheol are tied together. If you go to Sheol, you're dead. Mm-hmm. So death and Sheol are all the way through. And actually, at the end of Revelation, it will say death and Hades are thrown into the deal. And that Hades is obviously
Sheol.
Death and Sheol. But now we've got, instead of death, mute, we've got a goddess called Thanatos. And this is all on the videos right now. On the Marvel series,
Thanos is
a Greek god. Now I'm going to tie these two together, and this is all done on Google. You just hit the god Hades, the goddess Psuche, the goddess Thanatos, and pick it up. I said the goddess Pneuma. No, there is no goddess Pneuma. So Pneuma is not a god. That's spirit, the Greek word for spirit. But watch how. Psuche, the goddess Psuche, comes in with Thanatos. Beliefs about what happens to the soul after death vary significantly. You see, there you got Psuche and Thanatos. Soul, whenever you see the word soul, you're thinking of Psuche. Because man doesn't have a soul. We shouldn't even have that word in our vocabulary. You can have the word nephesh, but there is no this thing as a soul. But belief about what happens to the soul after death varies significantly by religion and denomination. While some Christian traditions believe the soul, the psuche, goes to hell, which would be Hades, all right, the underworld, immediately upon death, and there's death. And so what I've got is psuche, which is soul, we got hell, which is Hades, and we got death, which is Thanatos. So you see all three of them are tied together, psuche, Hades, and Thanatos. All what we believe, what we're taught in the church, is those principles, not what Yahweh says. Go immediately to, upon death, but those who have rejected God. Others teach that the soul goes to a temporary realm, like the temporary shelter of Hades, to await the final judgment.
Sheol.
Well, I know, but the hell of Sheol, a temporary hell of Sheol, there is no such thing as hell. So this has come from Google. Hades, to await a final judgment and resurrection before the eternal destination is determined. So where do we get immortality of the soul? First thing, there is no such thing as a soul. Or alma. That is Greek philosophy. We have the word nephesh, mythology, and philosophy. And then now it becomes not just a soul, but it's eternal soul. Immortal soul. Where did it all come from? Exactly here, and that's communicated by probably every Christian denomination there is, Catholic and Protestant, the same lies. Because in the Word, it talks about all the dead go to Sheol, waiting the resurrection of the dead. The dead, you know, we can see that the resurrection of the just is in Revelation 20, and the resurrection of the unjust. And it says, after the resurrection of the just are done, he said, the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. Well, I thought they were all in hell or heaven. So we've got everybody living because everybody's eternal. It's got to go someplace. This entity that leaves us, and you have to say, this entity, what Hebrew word are you talking about? They can't. There's not one Hebrew word that is an element that lives forever and is part of a human being. It doesn't exist. That's Greek mythology. Now, one last thing.
Yahweh says, thou shalt surely die.
Yeah.
And then you go all the way through, and it's...
But now, one other point, too, is foundations. This is just the start of it. The foundation is a rock. Christians have no foundation. Any of this stuff, it blows away anything. Like you said, there's a foundation on a rock. There's a foundation on a sand. It holds pretty well. But it's still going to fall. Yeah. And this foundation on water, what's going to happen to that?
Yeah.
There is no foundation. It goes all over the place. So we want it on the rock. The one scripture verse, it might be on the sand. We've done that verse. And on the water is soul. There is no such thing. You know, what you say is that some immortal thing that's inside a person that leaves our body upon death. Chapter and verse. What Hebrew word are you saying? There is no Hebrew word. You're saying the word psuche, which is the Greek goddess, is what you're talking about. But now, here's another set, the Trinity. The word Trinity is very, very interesting. The actual word Trinity, was it ever used by Yahweh?
No.
Was it used by Moses?
No.
Was it used by Peter?
Nope.
No. How about Paul? No. How about John?
How about
John, that's Revelation. So we got from Moses to John, no Trinity. No word ever used. Where did this word come from? Well, it came about in 180 A.D. So remember, you know, the epistles were like 65 A.D., so this is like over 100 years later, and it came, the first usage of the word Trinity came from Theophilus of Antioch. And I'll go ahead and put this on the site too. But now, look how this is used. He's writing to Autocletus. This is chapter 4 of his book. And he's talking about Genesis 1, Genesis chapter 1, verse the day 4, on the fourth day. On the fourth day, he's talking to this guy, on the fourth day the luminaries were made, because God, who possessed knowledge, knew the follies of the vain philosophers, that they were going to say that the things which grow on the earth are produced from the heavenly bodies. so as to exclude God, in order therefore that the truth might be obvious that plants and seed were produced prior to the heavenly bodies, for what is posterior cannot produce that which is prior. After these contain the pattern of a type of a great mystery, for the sun is a type of God and the moon of man, and as the sun far surpasses the moon in power and glory, so far does God surpass man. And as the sun remains ever full, never becoming less, so does God always provide perfect, being full of power and understanding and wisdom and immortality and all good. But the moon wanes monthly and in a manner dies, being a type of man, then he is born again in his crescent for a pattern of the future resurrection. In like manner, also the 3 days which are before the illuminates are a type of the Trinity of God and his word and his wisdom. So this is the first time the word Trinity is ever used, Greek. And if, you know, in like manner, also the 3 days which are before the luminaries are types of the Trinity of God and his word and his wisdom. So you have God, his word, and his wisdom. So this has no bearing whatsoever. And the fourth is a type of man who needs light, so there may be the word, wisdom, man. So what you've got is God, the word, wisdom, man. And this is the beginning of Trinity, the word Trinity. So you have to say, you know, that is absurd. But Yahweh's never used such a term, and neither should we. And this was done in 180. It has no relationship to anything that they have today, which is now a foundation. The second statement of beliefs on people's statement at first is, we believe the whole Bible. All right? And then they contradict it on the second verse. The second statement is, we believe that God exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Right off the bat, they disregard that. So now that's where the Trinity came from, and had nothing even to do with that. And then you got hell, which is inferno, which is supposed to be Sheol, no, or it's going to be the valley of Hinnom. So in a new covenant, when Yahushua says what they translate hell, it's the actual Greek words Gehenna. Ge means valley of Hinnom. Now where is the valley of Hinnom? It is southwest of Jerusalem. So you have the Kidron Valley, and then you have the Valley of Hinnom. Valley of Hinnom is where all the dead people were, and polluted stuff. And there was Moloch was down there, all sorts of stuff. So every place the word people translate hell is not the word hell, it's the word Valley of Hinnom. Translated Valley of Hinnom, period. That's what it is. It's a place. Is he using it figurative? Yes. So obviously it's a figurative that people are going to be destroyed in the Valley of Hinnom. Yeah, we know that too. That's called the second death in the book of Revelation. Are they going to live forever? No, they're not going to live forever. Are they going to be resurrected? Yes, they will be resurrected. Well, if they're already in hell, why would I resurrect these people? All right? Because they're not in hell. Everybody's in Sheol, and so they've got to pay their piper. And so restitution is coming. Restitution. These guys are going to come back up, and they're going to restore what they destroyed. And then they're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. And that's called the second death. And they're going to have Thanos. And so in the Greek New Testament, it's going to be Thanos. But it's called death. Okay, we'll end there. And we'll hear from our Heavenly Father according to 1 Corinthians 14 on prophecy. So, Father, we thank you for these words, these people. Through Mashiach, Yahushua, our Lord and Savior. Be bold and courageous, for victory is always near to you if you act. You must act in order to hold victory. So fight with the good fight of faith and know that I am abiding within you, directing your footsteps, but you must go forward. You must be in motion for me to direct your footsteps. Amen. See you next week.